Good Friday afternoon, everybody. Just wanted to say, first off, thank you for being loyal listeners. We're a small market, but we're getting bigger all the time. The Lane Kiffin interview is doing really well with not a whole lot of promotion. I've gotten a lot of compliments on that interview and just the podcast in general. So if you are listening, I want to say thank you. And also, as you could probably tell, the podcast now has a new name. I hated calling it the Jackson White Show, but I had an opportunity come up to start the podcast earlier than I imagined. So I needed a name, and the Jackson White Show is the only thing I could come up with at the time. But the show is now called The Extra Point, and I'm very excited to finally give it a name that I feel really says a lot about what this show is. And today's episode will be more of what this podcast will be about. You know, this is an FCA podcast because I work for FCA, and our guest today does too. But it's a little bit of a longer podcast than what you're used to from me, but I highly encourage you to listen all the way through it. If you don't want to listen to the whole thing at once, just chop it up. Do what I do. I listen to podcasts all the time, you know, for brain food or soul food, or, you know, even just to, you know, get ideas for my podcast. So, and that's not a plug or anything, but, yeah, if you don't want to listen to the whole, I think it's a 50 minute long, just chop it up into 5 increments of 10 or, whatever you gotta do. This is a very informative podcast. It's a good one. A good friend of mine I've gotten to know over the last few months. I drove all the way from Nashville to do this. He believes in the podcast that much and what God could do with it through FCA and for FCA and in FCA. So it's going to be a good one. So I hope you enjoy The Extra Point today. And thank you once again for listening. And just really quick, I want to say thank you to all my monthly supporters on my home team, my annual monthly supporters. You know who you are. And I would say your names, but I don't have permission, so I'm not going to do that. But thank you once again for allowing me to do what I love to do and let me fulfill my dream and fulfill the Great Commission. So if you like to be an annual monthly partner, there's more information on this podcast. So again, hope you all have a great weekend. May God bless you and your family, and enjoy the show. All right, good. Happy Friday, everybody. We are broadcasting from Ralph's Donuts, the staple in Cookeville. And today I'm very excited about this show because this is going to be a little different, but this episode is going to be more about what this show will entail. As all of you all know that listen, I work for Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and this podcast is designed to get FCA in more of a broader scope, get it out there more, and let people know what we do, what we're about, what FCA is about. And I'm very excited about the guy I have with me today. This guy is a fellow brother in Christ, also a fellow employee at FCA. He works in Nashville. He covers that area, so he has a huge market there, huge battlefield out there, and he's been killing it. I've gotten to know this guy over the last 7-8 months or so. Actually, roomed with him at state training last year and got to know him. He's a great guy. Again, FCA fellow area representative. My guest today is Tyler Forte. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Hey, man, appreciate you. I appreciate being here, man. Yeah. I like making this drive, getting to Ralph's. It's my favorite place to stop. I was introduced to it last year at camp. So we jumped down here, and I was like, oh, we have to go to Ralph's.
Yeah, man, it's a great place. I love it, and I've been coming here since I was a kid. And I think anybody that lives in this area has.
Exactly, it's packed. It's crowded, man.
But I need to correct myself. A minute ago, I said thanks for having me. I meant to say thanks for coming on.
Right,
so
for
I got
sure, man.
I got a little tied up there, but but anyway, Tyler, tell us a little bit about what you do in FCA.
Well, I am the area representative for the McGavick Cluster, McGavick High School Cluster.
Oh, McGavick.
So I cover McGavick High School, I cover DuPont Hadley, Donaldson Middle School, DuPont Tyler, Two Rivers, and Ailey's Bend. And I'm also, I cover every private school in Davidson County.
Wow.
So I cover a total of, I think it's, I believe, 25 schools.
Gosh.
And so it's an amazing journey.
Yeah.
I get a lot of miles in, but I love it. I love every second.
Yeah.
Of it, so.
Oh, me too. I thought I had a lot of schools covered. 25. Here's a fun fact that many of you may not know: McGavick High School. There was a man that attended there. He wasn't there long, but he was there for a little while back in, I think the late 80s, goes by the name of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, so that's pretty cool.
That is cool. I forgot, forgot about that. That's awesome.
But also from McGavick, Ladarius Van Leer, former Tennessee Tech standout, was there. He's actually making some moves in hip hop. I don't know. We can't play the song on here for obvious reasons.
Right, obviously. There's obvious reasons behind that one.
But anyway, so 25 schools. What does a normal day for you look like?
A normal day for me, man, obviously, when I first wake up, quiet time for sure.
Yeah.
That time to just get mentally, spiritually focused on what God has for me that day. Depending on my day, I might have a few darning meetings, but I'm also hitting between two or three schools, hitting a couple practices. If there's games at night, especially right now during basketball season, they're playing two or three games a week.
Yeah.
So we're in the gym probably about two to three nights out of the week.
Yeah.
With my middle schools and my high schools and my private schools. So.
Yeah. One thing I was thinking about the other day, I'm sure you're like me. Maybe you're not, but this was the first job that I ever had where I dictate my own schedule. And there's a lot of freedom in that, but there's also a lot of responsibility too, because I tell people, if integrity is an issue, now you need to get it fixed before you start working on your own schedule, because you could say you're one place and then be at home playing Madden.
Be at home playing, be at home chilling.
But it's a lot of fun, I think like you talked about, you get your miles in. I think 3 or 4 weeks ago, I drove 320 miles or something like that. That's a normal week, but at the same time, we don't have to do this. We get to do this. And I think through the, preliminary stuff you have to do to get on staff at FCA, I think it proves how much you want to be on staff at FCA. Not only that, just like I saw in your Instagram story, you said you were making moves for the kingdom. That is so true. Like anytime if we drive 30 miles, that's a move for a kingdom. If we drive 100 miles, that's a move for the kingdom. So just hanging out with some students 20 minutes a day, you never know what impact that may have. So you've been on staff at FCA going on a year,
This is actually my second year.
Okay, wow.
Came on, I was a coach and I taught at Dupont Hadley Middle School for 3.5 years. And I've always asked the question, what can I do to help build the kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I actually, she was my girlfriend and my fiance at the time, we were actually running the huddle at Dupont Hadley.
Mm-hmm.
And I never forget, shout out to Daddy Brown and Jessica Brewster.
Oh, Daddy Brown, man.
They were our reps.
Wow.
And they used to come in. And I never forget, they would always ask me, hey, you ready to come on staff yet? And I was like, no, I'm good. I love coaching. I'm good right here. My kingdom is, I'm building the kingdom here. I'm building relationships here. And I never forget, I called Daddy Brown when I first filled out the application. I was sitting in one of my seminary classes, and I filled out the application, and sent in my resume. I was like, hey, I just filled out my application for FCA. I said, come on staff. And he was like, what? And so, there's just the way that, God just shifts everything that you're doing. But that you're doing, there's a plan behind it. I never thought that I would not be coaching and come on staff with FCA. But at the same time, when I did come on staff with FCA, God was like, you're here for a reason. You're here for me.
Yeah.
And so as I continue to just go about it, man, it was just everything that happened was all God.
Mm-hmm.
From raising support to getting the schools that I have. I'm still with the same kids that I coached.
That's awesome.
And I'm still with the same kids that I taught and that I have those relationships with. Just because I'm in that McGavick cluster, and it's just like, man, I still get to watch y'all grow up, and I still get to watch God move in you guys' life, regardless of what's going on. So that's my favorite part of the day is that. So
that's awesome, man. That is so cool. Yeah, that for me, kind of like on the same coin, our stories are kind of similar. We're both former football coaches, and we were talking about this yesterday on the phone. It's not do we miss coaching? It's how bad do we miss it?
Right.
I had a guy talk to me yesterday about coming on his staff, and it's just something that I would love to do, but my wife would kill me.
Right.
But
but
kind of going the same token, I'd actually went from coaching to working on church staff here, Life Church. I was working here full time, and just it's funny how you make plans and God laughs.
Exactly.
I had just not too long before I'd made kind of a kind of like a commitment or maybe a promise to myself. I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a 5-year commitment to Life Church. I'm not going to field any job offers. I'm not going to put my resume out anywhere. 5 years, I'll give to Life Church, and then we'll go from there.
Right.
3 or 4 months later, I'm at Brost Coffee over here. Actually, just right down the street.
Okay.
Shout out to Brost Coffee. But I was sitting there with Jeff Lacey. You know Howie.
Oh, yes. That's my guy.
Howie Long. But we were sitting there having coffee, and, you know, he asked me if I wanted to meet up. I'm like, yeah, sure. And I thought he was going to ask me about the character coach, because I was a character coach for the wrestling team.
You got set up.
Yeah, oh, set up bad. Yeah, I walked right into it.
You got set up.
Sitting duck. And he goes to start telling me about this stuff, and he goes, have you ever thought about working for FCA? And I was like, oh, well, yeah. I mean, when I was in high school, you know, I knew a guy named Mick Miller who was working with Coach Cherry at the time, and, you know, that kind of got me interested in it, but, you know, I hadn't really thought about it since then. And he said, well, we're needing a guy to be the representative, and named off all the counties that are representing, you know, Overton, Clay, Pickett, and Fentress. Wow. He said, would you be interested in coming on staff? I'm like, yeah, I'll take a couple weeks and pray about it. And he said, but here's the thing. He said, we're nonprofit, so you'll have to raise all your support. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, well, you had me. But that's the thing that almost kept me from taking the job. Mm-hmm. And what a stupid thing to put in the way of, you know, because God's proven faithful. I mean, raising support, it doesn't quit. You know, I'm still doing it even though I'm on staff now. And you go for it, and it gets frustrating. I mean, it can get very frustrating. But for all those who don't know out there, we're pretty much local missionaries. You know, anything like we make, like anything that comes in is something, is funds that we raise. We raise, obviously, for our salary, but that's just not the whole thing. You know, we raise money to send kids to camp. We raise money to get kids Bibles. And we raise money to, you know, get coaches Bibles and send coaches to coaches retreats. And so we do a lot more than I think people tend to, the misconceived notion is that, you know, well, we're just raising money so we can work. Well, that's true to an extent, but also, I mean, there's so much more. Can you tell us a little bit about, I mean, what all the money goes toward?
And especially like in Nashville, we're such a big city. And there's so many kids, and our majority of our kids love going to camp.
Mm-hmm.
When you have, just in Davidson County alone, there are over 90 schools.
Yeah.
And so we're sending kids to basketball camp, basketball team camp, football camp, leadership camp, competitors camp. And we're also doing different things, like trying to do different outreaches and do different events for our athletes and for our coaches, and so that they have that camaraderie, and so that we unite. The big thing in Nashville right now is uniting everybody together.
Mm-hmm.
We go to luncheons, and we're sitting there with First Priority, with Athletes in Action, with Young Life, and we're just talking, and youth pastors and church planners, and we're talking about, okay, how can Nashville unite together?
Yeah.
And there's so much happening in Nashville right now, and the generation that we're actually in, and the millennial generation, and the teenagers, and those, and the kids that are younger than us, it's their time. Like, they're the now generation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's our job to build them up.
Yeah.
And to help them be disciples. I always think about when Jesus sent out the 72 disciples, and it just says he sent the 72 disciples out. But the crazy thing to me is, what does it take to build a disciple?
Yeah.
Like, I always think about that. Jesus loved them.
Mm-hmm.
He was humble, he was open, and he was transparent with them all the time. That's my acronym, HOT.
Yeah.
That's always my question. Are you hot right now? Are you being humble? Are you being open? Are you being transparent about
I
think it's for Michael Todd. Shout out to Michael Todd, because that's my guy. I watch him faithfully.
Hmm.
But, I mean, just staying where God wants you to be.
Right.
Especially when you're building disciples.
Yeah. That's funny you mentioned disciples. That's one thing I'm really studying on right now. And, like, well, what does disciples do? Well, you get discipled, and then you disciple. And it's called... It's kind of like you make them, you dunk them, you train them.
It's
pretty much that's how that goes. But, yeah, so we are and we are very fortunate, too. Like, you know, we're in schools. I mean, a Christian organization is in schools. And as the way things are getting now, that's almost unheard of. But, you know, what's cool about it is, you know, we meet with coaches on a regular basis. We meet with teams. You know, we go talk to teams before games, before practices. We're pretty much just servants. You know, and one thing that I always try to tell coaches, I'm like, how can I serve you? You know, even if it's like, even if it's just striping the field with a coach, because you know everybody knows if you've coached football,
striping that field,
you hate it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but you know, just lending a hand like that could, you know, go for miles. And so not only, I mean, do we talk to teams and things like that, but you know, that's just part of how we serve. And we also, you know, we're gearing up for camp here soon. Like, we actually just came back from a camp training last week in Nashville.
Shout out to the camp staff, man. Y'all did an amazing job.
That was great. I mean, and for me, one of the things I was, I don't want to say worried about, but, you know, coming into this, like I said, I've only been on staff not even 3 months yet. So, we'll get into that later, but one of the things I was concerned about was, what am I going to do about camp? I know nothing about camp. You know, I don't know where the camps are going to be.
Right.
You know, what's required of me and all this stuff. But then that training just really turned the light bulb on for me. But can you have any cool stories about camp?
Man, camp. So I give you my first story about camp. I started going to camp when I was in high school. I was going up to Johnson University to leadership camp. Had the opportunity to go once or twice. And to be on the student side of camp and to be on the staff side of camp this past year was so eye-opening. You never really know how much goes into camp.
Yeah.
and you never really know what kids are going through until you see it on the other side of it.
Yeah.
And so this past summer, it was a very unique story. So all the Nashville chaperones and staff went out to dinner. We had gotten word that one of our kids' moms had she had passed out, and so she was at the hospital. So we got word of that, and we were trying to figure out, okay, do we need to get him back home? Mm-hmm. One of us need to leave and just take him back and get him to his mom? Because we really didn't know what all was going on. So we actually ended up, after dinner, walking outside, and we prayed as just a big Nashville team, and we united together and was like, okay, we're going to stand together as one and say, God, we know your hands are on her already. So what do we need to do, and you tell us where to go? And crazy, the push comes to shove. Got to the worship service or whatnot that night. The kid actually ended up giving his life to Christ.
Wow!
And I had the opportunity to lead him in a prayer and to share with him. But you could see in his eyes the sincerity of what he knew he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And God always has a plan behind your life.
Yeah.
And I think for him now, and I watched him, he actually came to our banquet, and to see the light that he's being now in his school just because of he knew that God had something more for his life than what he was doing.
Yeah. Wow.
And he was like, I don't want to go home. I want to stay here at camp.
That's so
and
cool.
It was so eye-opening to me because anybody knows, like, when it comes to their mom, if anything happens to my mom, I'm dropping everything and I'm running.
Yeah.
And for him to say, no, God has something for me here right now in this moment, and him obeying what God said. God was literally just like, I got you. I got your mom. I need you here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, man.
And if he hadn't stayed, he may have never met Christ.
Exactly.
I mean, that's just one of many, many stories that have come out of FCA camp. Mine is more personable. I went to camp when I was 17, leadership camp. That was back when it was at old Lake Junaluska.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember those days. And I had some kind of church camp like right after that, so I really couldn't afford to go.
Right.
And Coach Cherry's like, "Hey, you going to FCA camp?" I was like, "Well, I'd like to."
A walking legend.
Yeah, I said no, but I didn't want to get into why. I didn't want him to feel like I was trying to, you know, sucker him or anything.
Right.
So I just said no, I'm not. And he said, "Well, would you go if I sponsor you?" I'm like, I'll go."
Right.
And so I went, and Like I said, I didn't know what to expect. One thing I love about FCA camp is they get you out of your comfort zone.
For sure, man.
And
completely out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, and you're not with people you came with. You're with a huddle leader you've never met before. But at the end of the week, you are brothers.
Yeah.
And if you go and you're a girl, you are sisters. And when I went to camp, and I never will forget this, Roger Woods was the dean at the time. The mean dean, Roger Woods. Like I said, we were at Lake Junaluska, and I was saved going into camp, but I almost felt like I got saved again.
Hmm.
You know, it was just the way that God moved in my life, the things he showed me about prayer, about worship, and
it became real.
Yeah.
It became real.
You know, at the first of it, and I was like, well, there's some cute girls here, but at the end of it, I didn't even really care, you know. But It was funny. I actually got called out by my huddle leader. Well, I'll tell you about that in a little bit.
Oh, gosh.
But you know, I remember the night, I think it was the last night we were there. We were walking to, there's a big cross there. It's mm-hmm. it's probably 3 or 4 miles from the campsite.
You kind of have to hike up to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we walked all the way up there. And it was a little misty mm-hmm. and everything. I think God was just showing off from mm-hmm. us is what I think. But we had a worship service there at the cross.
Wow.
And we had salvations there. People that, you know, were, I can't remember, I'm wanting to say there's somebody there that said, hey, they plan on killing themselves, but God had showed up in their life in a mighty, I don't know if it was that camp or another one, but I know that has happened, so forgive me if I misspoke, but there we had kids, you know, saying, you know, that got saved, like, right there, and you got to watch the transformation happen. Mm-hmm. It's just so cool to me. And
that is one thing that never gets old.
Yeah.
It's when you get to watch kids' lives change right mm-hmm. in front of your face.
Yeah.
That is something that, I mean, I don't care what kind of day you're having.
Yeah.
I don't care what you're going through.
Yeah.
But when you get the opportunity to watch an athlete,
mm-hmm.
Big, small,
yeah,
tall, short,
yeah,
say, I want to live my life yeah. for Christ.
Yeah.
And it becomes so authentic to them where they can't deny it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is so, I mean, that's one of the most authentic and real feelings yeah. Ever. Yeah. I think at competitors camp this past summer, they began to sing It Is Well.
Huh.
And to hear and to see kids literally say, it's well with my soul. Like, I have that peace about this yeah. decision that I'm making. Man, it was one of the most unreal, authentic. I was in tears. I think everybody was in yeah. tears.
You can't go to FCA camp and not cry. That's just, yeah. that's just, it just doesn't happen. If you get out of the FCA camp without shedding a tear, you have no soul. I mean, that's just kind of the way that goes.
Yeah.
I mean, I was back at that time. You know, I was 17 years old. You know, athlete, feel like I, you know, couldn't show my emotions, but I was even right. there going, oh my gosh.
Right. I think that's one of the most amazing feelings when you see football players, like huge football players, who try to act hard when they come into camp.
Yeah.
By the
yeah.
time they're leaving, I mean, they're just in full worship, and I'm like, yeah. man, God, you're really, yeah. you're amazing.
Yeah, that's the thing I'll never forget is the, I mean, there was obviously not everybody gets it, but
right.
I'd say a good 95% of the people did. And right. the people that kind of were joking around during worship at first of camp, at the end of camp, they're up front, exactly. both hands in the air, tears in their eyes, you know.
Exactly.
That's just something that is worth the price of admission. And like I said, you know, I'm one of the beneficiaries of somebody, you know, giving a donation to Coach Cherry for allowing me to go to camp, and that kind of reaffirmed my call to ministry. And it also, I mean, I had no idea 10 years later I'd be going back to camp, this time on staff. So right. it's crazy how things play out.
Right.
You know, let's talk about, you know, when you start a new job, there's always difficulties of kind of getting in the flow of things. Right. I'm right. going through that right now. And it's just par for the course. You know, Jeff right. Lacey said, hey, it's going to happen. Don't let it frustrate you. Just, you know, figure your way out of
right.
it.
Right.
And for me right now, the hard part is scheduling, you know, because right. We all know how it goes. Sometimes coaches can meet, sometimes they can't. Sometimes you have right. it all set up to go, and something happens, they have to go to a meeting. So for me right now, it's just making sure for 10 hours a day I've got something to do.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, doing paperwork, which I hate doing, or logging my miles, or going to a school, or like right. you said, having a donor meeting. What was the hardest thing for you first coming on staff to FCA? What was one thing that took you a little bit to kind of get in the groove on?
Learning how to say no.
That's good.
And realizing that even though in your mind you might be Superman, you do get tired.
Yeah.
You do have a family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's big.
We've been married 7 months, and the best part about it was learning how to balance.
Yeah.
She's a teacher.
So's mine.
Full-time ministry, so you're sitting there like,
yeah, that's crazy.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
We have a 9-year-old who's, I mean, amazing. He loves going with me to schools and all that great stuff, so I was like, okay, this is great.
Yeah.
But learning how to say no is the biggest thing. And the youth pastor at our church, I always talk to him and get some wisdom from him, and he brought it to light for me. He said there's always a difference between a good offer and a God offer.
Wow, that's good.
And you have to be able to decipher the two.
Yeah.
And so when you're learning how to say no, you have to have that discernment. Okay, is this a good offer? Is this where God is leading me to go today?
Right.
And we always try to be spirit-led about what we do, especially in Nashville, because when you have 20...
So much.
We all have 20 schools. And so 20 to 25.
Yeah.
And so we're all like, okay, God, where do you want us to go today? What do you want us to do today? We have stuff written in our schedule, between huddles and all that, great practices and stuff like that. But I mean, going to those practices and going to those schools differ between each and every day, because you kind of feel led, okay, this is where I need to be for that day. And this is where, whether I'm going just to sit in the hallway and talk to athletes as they walk by. I've done that, and it's just, hey, that's what's good, up? How you doing? Just checking in. I don't have anything to do here today, but I'm just here. And the principal's like, hey, come in whenever you want to, and just say, hey, walk through the hallways, go speak to some teachers, check in on them and some coaches.
Well, that's good. But that's, I never thought of that.
That's the biggest thing. That was the biggest thing for me when I first came on, was learning how to say no. That was, I'm still learning it.
We all do. I'm learning that one.
As an athlete and as a coach and as a person who's like, I want to go do this, and this, and I want to do this, and now, you have to learn how to say no, because and it's not burnout, but you do get tired.
I mean, everybody needs their sleep.
Right, everybody has to sleep. I was like, if it's up to me, you mean you can work 24 hours a day.
Me too.
A happy wife equals a happy life. And so as long as my wife is happy, I'm good.
Yeah. That's funny. That it's so crazy, the similarities we have in our life. You know, we both are married to school teachers. You know, we're both in full-time ministry. And, like, what was cool for me is that last night I got to come home about 4:30. And, you know, that time, and I know you're the same way. Of course, our lives are a little different. I mean, you have a kid and we don't yet. But just getting home early, like tonight I'll be able to get home early because I got to go to a game. Well, I don't have to go to a game. I get to go to a game. But those moments are, you know, you have to cherish those, because next thing you know, you'll blink, there's 3-4 kids running around the house, and like, man, where did our time together go? So
being intentional.
Yeah.
That's our word for the year. It's intentional. That's being good. Intentional with everything that you do, with relationships, meetings, with our family, with our marriage. And we're going to be hot about it. We're going to be humble, open, and transparent about it. If we feel like we're not being intentional, we're going to tell each other about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest blessing that I have from my wife. Shout out to Janelle Forte. You are the best. She is the ham to my cheese and the peanut butter to my jelly. But I think, just the way that our relationship has always been. She was my girlfriend while I was coaching. So I would see her on Fridays. Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. We would play on Thursdays because I was coaching middle school. But, I mean, it's God literally taught us how to balance everything. And we're still learning it. And it's always going to be a learning game, because God is always going to be shifting and getting you out of your comfort zone. But I think that's the coolest thing about it.
Yeah, and that's a lesson I've had to learn, too, is to say no, because 2-3 months into dating Paige, also, by the way, shout out to Paige White, love you, I'll see you tonight. You know, I think it's just so cool that, you know, God knew who we needed as a wife, and I'm sure you look at your wife every day thinking, man, thank you, God. Because I just,
for sure,
you know, I mean, my wife don't have to be doing, she can be just standing there. I was looking, like, man, thank you, God, thank you. You knew who I needed, exactly who I needed. But I was kind of like you said, you know, I was working a lot. And at this point in time, I was the middle school director at the church, and just constantly working. And Paige is really the first girl I'd seriously dated. You know, I'd dated some other girls, but, you know, never amounted to anything. But, like, Paige was the first one I knew. I was like, okay, there might be some I'm going to marry this one.
Right.
So, but, like I said, working a lot, and that was kind of a tough conversation we had to have early on. I'm thankful we did 2-3 months into the relationship, the first 2-3 months into marriage. Like, hey, you're always working, I never see you. So I had to learn that. I had to swallow that pill pretty early on. It was a tough pill to swallow, but I'm better off for it now. And that's one thing Jeff Lacey told me when I first came on. Actually, before I came on, we'd have one day a week training sessions before I actually became one staff, which was so beneficiary to me, beneficial to me, because I still refer to my notes that I took there because, you know, if it wasn't for those meetings, I'd have started day one thinking, what the heck
confused,
do I do?
Yeah. Confused, yeah.
And one of the first things he told me, he said, first, it's your relationship with God. Second, it's your relationship with your wife. He said specifically, you protect your relationship with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to a game Friday night and she wants you home, you stay home.
Mm-hmm.
He was very, very specific about that. And I'm very thankful for that, too.
For sure.
I would feel like I'm the type, if I'm with my wife and there's a game going on, I would still kind of feel like a little guilty, even though I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know that.
Yeah.
But, I always have a way for a little guilt trip dripping into my life somehow in some area.
Sure. Yeah.
But he was very easy. Like, look, you protect your relationship with your wife, and if you're not, then we have problems.
Right,
so
right.
That's very important. I'm very thankful that we get to work for an organization that understands the ranking of relationships.
Exactly.
and the priorities. And there's been a few times already I was scheduled to go to a game, and she wanted to do something. I'm like, okay, I'm not going.
Oh, yeah, for
and
sure.
And think about being salary. We can always make up for that,
right,
you know. So,
right.
I mean, I might work, you know, 40 hours one week and 30 that next. So you never know what's going to happen during a daily daily schedule.
That's something that I learned very early. I started preaching when I was 22.
Hmm.
I met Janelle when I was 24, and I first started coaching. But I was working full time. Coaching, and I was in seminary full time, so I was taking 16 to 18 hours.
How did you do it?
I don't know. My mom asked me the same question actually when I graduated. She looked at me, and I think she finally realized how much I was doing at that time. And she was, because I was also coaching football and basketball at the time too, before I just went to football. And she was like, I don't know how you did it. But she was like, the grace of God was on you so much during this time period.
Yeah.
He was. Yeah. God was literally walked step by step with me through that whole process, because there were days where I didn't want to go to class. There were days where I didn't even want to go to practice. But I knew that I had a team that was looking at me, knowing that they relied on me. So I sucked it up and went.
Yeah.
But I was always praying. I was like, God, you have to cover me with your love. You have to cover me with your joy through each of it, through every step of this practice. But, yeah, one of the biggest things is balance, man. That's what I've learned. I always tell people, I was like, asking for, like, some crazy, you know, theological answer about what I've learned about working for FCA and how I got here. And I'm just like, I learned how to balance.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how to balance my family, learned how to balance my job, and just life in general.
Yeah.
You learn it.
Yeah.
And it takes a while. And shout out to the best area director in Nashville, because he's the only one. But he is the best. Al, man, Al's your bum. He completely understands.
Wow.
His vision,
Al's a good dude.
Just the love that he shows each and every day.
Yeah.
Whether he just calls in to check on you and say, hey, how you doing? Or, just saying, hey, you know, how's your wife? How's your kids? How's your son? And it's amazing to me that you have. You get to work for somebody that cares.
Yeah,
it's great. And even when I taught and I was coaching, I had a principal that cared.
Mm-hmm.
He's also like my big brother. He also introduced me and Janelle too. So
yeah, I gotta give him that. Huh?
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, it's just learning how to balance. And I think as we continue to grow, even going into the second year. The growth between the first year and the second year, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, I can see where I've learned so much.
That's cool you mentioned that, too, because I think for me, and it may have been the same thing for you, too, but it's easy for frustration to creep in, especially, like, when you're trying to, you know, like I said, make sure that not that you're not being busy, but you're being productive. I mean, there's a big difference. That's one thing. I'm trying to be productive this year instead of just busy. Making sure, you know, you're getting your donor meetings and you're going to schools. I mean, fortunately, I'm able to hit every school this week, which is the first time that's happened since I've been on staff.
That's a blessing,
so, yeah, it's a huge blessing. And, it's very easy for me to get frustrated. And if I'm not careful, the frustration will get too much in where I'm not thinking clearly, and I'm almost I'm almost trying to schedule meetings and go to places almost out of, just out of a, almost like a...
Because you feel like you have to do it.
Yeah, and that's very dangerous, too. And I think, for me, when it gets like that, sometimes I just have to go away for a little bit. Right. And just, you know, kind of pray, read some, and read a little bit. And that's another thing, I'm sure you, like, you heard the old saying, leaders are readers. Right. And that's one thing Jeff has encouraged me to do. He's like, you have two books going at all times.
Right now, in the moment, I have probably about four or five.
Wow.
Going right now.
You have Audible or
what? I'm on my iPad. Yeah. So I just take my iPad is with me everywhere we go.
Yeah.
But Bob Goff is Love Win. Love Always Wins, mm-hmm. and Everybody Always.
Yeah.
Those, and I'm reading a few leadership books and stuff like that. But
I'm reading right now Truly Free by Robert Morris.
Mm-hmm.
Love Robert Morris. He's one of my favorite pastors.
I suggest the book Boundaries.
Oh, that's good.
Read that. Have you read it?
I've heard about it.
Who's
the author?
Reading it. That's a great question. Of course you asked that question.
Hey, that's why I have this show. I bring the hard questions.
We just found out about it in a training that we did with Mercy Multiplied this week. Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John
Townsend.
Oh,
he's good. They are good.
It's a book that they were like, you guys have to read to learn how to balance, basically.
I'll tell you another good one, Choosing to Cheat by Andy Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good one. Read that one not long ago. Also, I'm reading Stop Asking Jesus Into Your Heart by J.D. Greer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a book that talks about assurance of salvation. It's funny, not to go out, we'll bring it the train back on the track here in a minute, but it's funny how Christians, like more Christians than you think, you know, struggle with like, am I really saved, you know?
Right.
And that book really it does a good job of showing what salvation is, what it isn't. And I'm not going to get too much into it, because if I tell you all about the book, that'll keep you from buying it.
So, want to read it.
Yeah,
right?
And then, I'm reading for me. I'm not reading for everybody out there. Sorry. If you're in ministry, if you're in anything, keep reading, because it not only does it make you think, but it relaxes your mind at the same time.
Right.
And
if you are young and you are, like, trying to figure out what ministry is and try to, figure out, what God has called for you, I would suggest two books. Next Generation Leader by Andy Stanley.
Mm. I need to read that one still.
And You Are What You Love. And it's The Spiritual Power of Habit.
Mm.
And that's by James K. Smith.
Okay.
And those two, I'm still reading through You Are What You Love. But,
okay.
I mean, just talking about the habits that you have.
Yeah.
And I think so often that we don't realize every habit that we've built,
mm-hmm.
if it's a bad habit, you have to break it.
Yeah.
And so they say, a habit takes, 21 days to build? So if you're doing it for 21 days, it's a habit.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you have to check yourself,
We're not just talking about, like, drinking and smoking. We're talking about procrastination or whatever other thing.
Laziness, whatever.
Procrastination is a big one for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's just kind of, for me, wasn't a problem until I realized it was a problem. But up to that point, I've been doing it for so long.
Right.
You know, that's something I still have to struggle with.
That's something in college I think everybody picks up.
It's like, because
there's so much other stuff that you can do, and your parents are not looking at you what are you doing?
It's like
procrastination is a big one for everybody. I think we've all at some point had to break that habit.
It's kind of funny. You thought one, I remember being at Tech Library, it's across the street over here.
Mm-hmm.
I was working on a paper, quote-unquote working on a paper. I was supposed to be working on a paper, but at the same time I was watching Nightcrawler. Who's in that movie? What's his name? He was in October Sky. Jake Gyllenhaal, So that's just, procrastination, struggle with it before high school, get ready when you get in college. So you have to really fight it. So, man, we covered a lot of ground today. For you, again, I hate to come back around to this as far as donors. I think I had a preconceived, it was a wrong notion, but I thought once I got on staff, okay, good, it's over.
No,
it never ends. And
having donors is like, you build relationships with donors the same way you build relationships with your athletes and your coaches.
Yeah.
You take the time to be intentional with them, because if they're investing in what you're doing and they believe in what God has called you to do, they become like a family. I always tell my donors, I said, you have become part of my family.
Yeah, for sure.
Not just you, but your whole family is part of my family.
And it's, and I don't know if you're like me, but I hate asking people for money. Hate it. That's one of the, like I said, that's one of the reasons why I almost said no to this job, and I would have missed out on all of this.
Right.
But God's proven faithful time and time again. But you know, I've my support team, my home team is growing. Thank God for that.
Yeah, that's
but you know, like you said, anytime you do something, just because God calls you to do something, does not mean it won't be frustrating. It doesn't mean you won't get tired.
And then He's gonna give you the exact answer of how to do it.
I think,
that's something with donors is every meeting that we have is a divine appointment with it.
Yeah.
You never know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
It might not be them giving you $50 to $100 a month.
Yeah.
To invest in you. It might be you ended up praying for them because they're going through something that only you, that God has placed in you for you to pray for.
Yeah.
And so what I realized is I think the first couple donor meetings I went into it with the wrong mindset. I went into it just saying, I'm going to ask you for money, but I'm not really worried about everything else.
Yeah.
But after that, God literally gut checked me and was like, hey, this is part of your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of what I've called you to do.
Yep.
And when you go in and you pour your heart out, the majority of time they're going to pour their hearts out to you.
Yeah.
And are you going to sit there and listen? Like one of my favorite things to do is listen to people, listen to their stories, listen to what God is doing in their life, because when you listen to them, it literally becomes like there's a connection there.
Like
a spiritual connection like never before. And so, now going into year two, I mean, I've grown so much with donor meetings, building those relationships.
That's refreshing to know because
it never gets easy.
No.
But as God places people in your path, and that's what I've realized, everybody that has joined my home team has been God placing them in my path. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with what I'm doing or what. With cold calls and I make those cold calls, but God has already placed in their heart, hey, I want to hear what He has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you do make those phone calls, like, don't get discouraged about it, because a lot of people will say no. And a lot of people will say yes, and they'll meet with you, and it might not turn into a donation or a AMP right then, automatic monthly partner right then.
Yeah.
But it can turn into just a relationship that grows.
Mm-hmm.
And as that relationship grows, they realize that, hey, you don't want me just for my money.
Yeah.
It's like if somebody was dating a rich person, they're like, oh, you just want me for my money.
That's
not what we want.
Yeah.
We want you to come join this journey with us as we, embark on, man, just changing lives of coaches and athletes all over.
Right,
If you think about the amount of kids, like I have 25 schools, and I think about the amount of coaches and athletes that I have, it is unreal.
Mm-hmm.
And people see that, and people are like, oh my goodness, like God is really changing and really just pouring into people all over Nashville, and we're building up disciples to literally unite and to go out and say, for God I live, and I will live my life for you.
Yeah.
I think that's what, I mean, most donors, you sit in donor meetings, and that's literally what I say. This is what we're doing.
Yep.
We are starting. There's a revival happening in Nashville at this moment.
That's awesome.
And it's right now just with coaches and athletes.
Yeah.
And we are taking it and we're running with it.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good. That's refreshing to hear, because I'm not the conventional support raiser. I get nervous anytime. That's kind of funny.
That'll never change.
I was at a breakfast one time with a married couple that are dear, dear friends of mine, and I've known them. They've known me since I was a kid. Just some of the best people that I know, and that's the thing. They know why you're there,
right.
You know. So and I was like, I was holding off that part for as long as I could. And the husband goes, "Well, is there anything else you want to ask us?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's the part I was trying to avoid, but here it goes."
Right.
But
I think that's one of the biggest things. I remember going to boot camp. To learn how to raise support.
Yeah.
And I never forget, we were sitting in there, and I was like, am I the only person that ever feels awkward when it comes to raising support, like asking?
Yeah.
And everybody was like, no, we all feel awkward. I was like, oh, okay, since we're all together on this team of awkwardness, then let's take it and run with it. But yeah, that, I mean, that's I would never not.
Yeah.
You'll get comfortable with sitting in there and, you know, pouring your heart out. But as once you get to that ask, you're like,
yeah,
what just happened?
Yeah.
But yeah, but no, it doesn't get easier, but you'll get a little bit more comfort level behind it. So
I'll tell you who really helped me. Tryout training is something that any prospective FCA staff member goes through. Some are currently on staff already that they go. But I'll tell you who really helped me as far as like how to ask and how to meet with people is none other than the famous Njeri.
That's my guy. Hey, shout out to Njeri.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
He's so cool, man.
I got to make sure I send this podcast to him.
Cause
I got to make sure he gets a shout out.
Yeah. You gotta love Njeri.
Yeah.
But anyway, he was there at the one I went to.
Okay.
Like, he threw curveballs at me.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I believe it.
Oh, yeah. And use different accents every time.
Sure. Oh, wow.
He's one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet. But you can just see the spirit of Christ oozing out of him.
Yeah,
so,
that's amazing,
I mean, I've seen him be.
And shout out to the whole Memphis staff.
Yeah.
Shout out to
they're killing it down there. Love you guys. Hopefully we can see you all soon. But that made me think, okay, that may happen. That question may come up or so you have to be ready, but at the same time,
know.
I think, about to wrap up here, but, is there anything else that maybe I forgot to ask that you want to talk about? Because we've covered a lot of ground and we have no script, ladies and gentlemen, we are rolling off the cuff.
Yeah,
so, and we've got like 44 minutes almost of, content. So,
I think, if you are ever wondering about what FCA is, what we do, how we do it, don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah, for sure.
We are. I tell people all the time, I am an open book.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that acronym HOT comes in.
Yeah.
I'm always going to be humble, open, and transparent about it. I'm not saying humble as being cocky about it, but
that's
where my heart is now.
Mm-hmm.
God has given us a mission field.
Yeah.
We've accepted that mission field, and we're going to go into that mission field and do our very best.
Yeah.
Because God has equipped us to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, especially in Nashville, people are like me. I have 25 schools. How do you cover them all? And I
prayer.
Know yeah, a lot of it. But I never, people are always like, you never want to go spread a mile wide and only be an inch deep.
Exactly. That is
and
great.
And so anytime that we walk into that building and walk into your school building, we're intentional about it.
Yeah.
I want to see a smile on your face. I want to make sure that you're doing we're doing great.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that, you know, everything, if you have any questions about what you're studying at the moment, I want to make sure that you're growing and that you're serving, and that you're getting ready to lead.
Yeah.
Because especially now with the coaches, athletes, y'all are now generation.
Yeah.
You have more, influence in that school building than most people ever realize. I think that's where God has placed your gifts.
Exactly.
And so use your gifts and use them for His kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we are in Nashville right now. It's just I want you to use your gifts. Just want to give a shout out to all of my schools, all of my private schools. I don't know if I want to be specific because I don't want anybody to get mad at me. But I'm excited just about what God is doing in Nashville. Our growth and how lives are being changed left and right. That's pretty much what I got. But
yeah,
just excited, man. You're always excited, especially as you get ready to go into camp season.
If
you have not been to FCA camp, go to camp. Even if you have something planned, unless it's just a major vacation and your parents have already paid for it, if you're interested in camp, talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna blast this podcast in Nashville.
Yeah,
and I want you guys to really sit down and listen to it. It's 46 minutes, so do it while you're doing your homework or while you're in the car driving or while you're, you know, just sitting at the house.
A lot of information here.
For sure.
And hopefully somebody's still listening at the 47-minute mark, but
there's
a lot on here.
I hope so.
But you split it up. You know, listen to 10 minutes
I know who will be listening. My mom and my wife and my father will
my
be
wife
listening.
My family will be listening. I'll make my wife listen.
No. I got some athletes that'll listen, man. I love y'all, for sure. Everybody in Nashville that, I mean, I see, and that I'm with, and the athletes and coaches that I'm with, man, I love you guys for sure. You guys have changed my life.
Yeah, for sure.
I tell people that all the time, like y'all have helped me grow in ways that I never imagined. And so, from the bottom of my heart, I thank you. I love you.
Yeah.
And I will always be there.
Yeah.
And be that same consistent person that's helping you grow, yeah, helping you serve, helping you lead in Nashville, for yeah, sure. And shout out to the whole FCA Nashville office.
Yeah. Y'all are killing it. Y'all are doing great.
Love you guys. You guys keep me going. You guys, for sure, man. We're all growing together. We're all uniting together, and I'm just excited to see what God has just going. So I'm going to stop talking now.
No, you're good, man. Hey, we are good. Also, just want to say thank you all to to any school that's in the Upper Cumberland North region. Pickett County High School, Clay County, Clark Range, York Institute, Livingston Academy.
You got a lot of counties.
Yeah, a lot of driving. And some of them, there's no quick way to get anywhere. But, a private jet would pay for itself by now. But it's awesome, though. It's all good. But just want to say thank you all for letting me be a part of your teams, part of your schools, part of your FCA sectors that you all have. We're just getting started. Like I said, I've only been on the job 3 months. There's a lot of things coming down the pike. I'm excited to see where it's
going.
Big
moves for the kingdom are coming.
Yes.
We're always working.
FCA, it's getting bigger every year. We've seen more growth this past year as far as staff, finances, decisions for Christ, disciples, last year than we have any year before. So 2019 is going to be a big year. We're expecting big things, and FCA, as they say, the best is yet to come. So you'll be seeing a lot of Tyler and myself doing. We'll be out running around. If you're in the Upper Cumberland area, if you see me out in one of your schools or one of your communities, never hesitate to talk to me. I'll be more than glad to just spend some time with you talking about what we're doing in FCA. And if you're in the Nashville area, which hopefully I'll get there soon. Next time we do this, I'll come to you as a thank you for coming here.
Come on down to the Ville.
Yeah.
615.
For sure. Yeah.
To the big 615, because we're large.
Yeah. Yes, so you are. Again, we're excited. We're getting ready to head into camp season, full-fledged. Hope you enjoyed this episode today. I know it's a little longer, but there's a lot to cover. If you are interested in being an AMP, what an AMP is an annual monthly partner to Tyler or myself. This podcast was not designed to get financial support. We believe in a big God. It's all His. He's going to provide. But if you want to get behind people giving their life to Christ when their mom's in the hospital, if you want to get behind kids that are just breaking down and seeing God move in their life, if you want to get behind that, if you're in the Nashville area, if you want to get behind Tyler, I'm going to have his link up in the podcast description. If you're in the Upper Cumberland area, if you want to join my team, when your finances, you join a part. You become a part of this ministry. This isn't me just taking your money. This is me, like Tyler said, you become part of our family. So my link will be up as well. So that's all we have for today. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. We hope you learned a little more about FCA, a little more about Tyler in the Upper Cumberland area. Nashville, I love you. I'll see you soon. Go Titans. Go Preds. And I won't say go Vandy because I'm a Tennessee fan.
Anchor down. And go Vols at the same time.
Yeah.
It just depends on who's playing.
Yeah, Seawalk, we love you, man.
That's my dog.
Yeah, but anyway, that's all we have. I hope you all have a great weekend, and we will see you at a later date. This is the newly named The Extra Point. Hope you all have a great rest of the day. God bless. Love you.
Love you guys.